Coming up on TMS, what our zombie dreams mean in the long run.
A nice update on dogs and their magnetic poo.
Florida man pretends to be a deputy to get a gun.
What's it like getting tased in a P.F. Chang's?
Lohan needs to find my laptop app and soon.
Uh-oh, the British are coming and they have awards with them.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
America's foremost authority on etiquette, Miss Amy Vanderbilt.
How do you do? Some of my friends tell me that in my new book on etiquette, I was a little hard on smoking. Actually, I was hard on smokers, at least some smokers. I dislike thoughtless smokers. You know, the man next to you at the dinner table who holds his cigarette so that the smoke drifts into your eyes. I don't like the careless type who flicks his ashes on the rug and laughingly says that they keep the moths out. Well, I like considerate smokers. For instance, I like to know that my husband is considerate enough to carry my brand of cigarette, and that, as I'm sure you can guess from my being here, is Lucky Strike.
That feels great on my abs.
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Stream. Sure glad my husband carries my favorite brand of cigarettes. It's me, Scott Johnson, and it's Brian Ibbett returning back from his day of rest and relaxation and healing and convalescence, right?
Yes. Did I ever tell you about the time that I went to sleep and woke up with Randy Deluxe's voice?
That's pretty good. It's until you say all the Spanish words weirdly white guy proper, then I'm not interested in your Randy voice at all. How you feeling, though? You better? You good?
Much better, yeah. I sound, for those of you who are really worried and are Lysoling the front of your listening device in your earbuds or whatever, it's really, I really sound way worse than I feel. I actually feel pretty close to fine.
Good.
Like, you know, again, I like to do the percentages. I'm about 85%.
I do like that. You go. You always go for the percentages. And 85 is not bad, man.
No, 85 is not bad.
I think most of us would like to feel 85 all the time. You know, like I'm more antibiotic than I am man right now.
Right, right. So, oh yeah, right. Sure.
Still have 5 more days of that bull crap. And
those giant horse pills.
Oh my gosh, dude, they're so freaking big. And I asked the doctor, so why do these have to be so big? And he goes, well, they're time release technology where they sit there for a long time and slowly disintegrate. I mean, yeah, he's got all this story
in
about
other
it.
Words, he doesn't know either.
He doesn't know. They're horse suppositories. They're giant. And I shouldn't have to take them. But nonetheless, notwithstanding, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. And back in the disinfected booth where I belong.
Lysoled out and everything?
Yep.
Do that with Pureled. Wipes?
Pureled all the buttons and switches and knobs.
You use wipes, you use the spray when it comes to Lysol?
I use the spray and then I wipe with the wipe.
When you mop a floor, do you prefer Swiffer or do you go with a full-on mop and a bucket?
Oh, Swiffer.
All right.
The Swiffer Wet Jet, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
we love the Swiffer Wet Jet.
I haven't heard of that before. What does that do? What does the Wet Jet do?
It's got like a little Swiffer pad on the bottom, but then it sprays. So the Swiffer pad is thicker and more absorbent.
Yeah.
And then the front of the Swiffer Wet Jet has a little spray nozzle that sprays goo all over the floor that you then pick up with the pad.
Okay. All right. Let me move on to one more question.
Sure.
Last one about
follow-up.
Home hygiene and cleaning.
Right.
When presented with a clogged toilet, do you prefer the straight up old, like Tom and Jerry cartoon style plunger, like the red end with the basically a nipple with a stick in it?
Right.
Or do you go for the big, kind of the big black, kind of like a housing kind of?
Right. That's got like the curved inside.
Yes.
I prefer the traditional Tom and Jerry style.
That is
because
the correct answer, man.
The black one actually holds liquid in it.
Yeah.
Why the heck would you want any of that liquid retained?
Right. If your mom, if your mother comes over to the house, your mother-in-law leaves a big old pine cone in there and clogs the toilet like you do.
Right.
You don't need that thing to just make life worse because you're like, no, wait, where did everything go? Oh, it's in this container.
Exactly.
Vacuum sealed and now I got to get it out of there. Better, but worse yet is when those things go the wrong direction and become
projectile.
What do you call it? They're inverted.
Yes.
And you can't get the thing out. And you're not the kind of guy that's going to reach down and just work that out with your hands.
No. And there's no hard, no edge surfaces that you can pull it on. It's like a rounded bowl.
It's awful. So get the traditional ones, as folks. If we don't do anything here but educate you about your toilet habits, then what else are we
doing? The more you know.
That's right. That's right. I should play that when we do that. More you know. Here you go. From us to you, folks. From us to you. All right. I had a zombie dream, and I want to tell you about it.
Okay.
Now that you're feeling better. And
is the governor there?
No, he's not here. No one-eyed crazy people.
All right.
However, it's interesting you say that, because there's some parallels, and I don't think it was inspired by The Walking Dead, but there's some parallels there. Mm-hmm. So I had this dream that the zombie apocalypse happened, and because Utah's a strange egg, culturally speaking, there's a very strong emphasis, and has been my entire life, as in family circles and friend circles, a very strong emphasis on self-reliance and preparedness here.
Okay.
Now, this isn't, not to say that it isn't that way else places, but it's just pounded into you here. So people have a lot of food storage, and they rotate through it every year. So you have a lot of canned goods, and you'll eat them, but you'll replenish the home, the food storage, because you'll bring the applesauce up from the cold storage room, and you'll eat that one day. But then next time you're at Costco, you'll get new, much further out.
Discounts, so you'll get more.
Sure. Plus stuff expires. You want to try to keep ahead of that. So there's a lot of grain, and you got bottles of water, and you just kind of try to do that. And Kim's really big on that. So we've always had about a year's, give or take a year's worth of food storage in the house at any given point.
Sure.
And it's a good idea. If something bad goes down, or even if it's just for a day or a few days of power outage, or it's in the cold or whatever, you've got these options, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking like crazy, everybody head down to the bunker because the aliens are coming. It's not that kind of thing. It's just straight up, be prepared. 72-hour kits, that kind of stuff. First aid, whatever. So, I've given you a little background there. It's a big deal in this state. And for whatever reason, the zombie dream that I had was the zombies were coming, and we didn't have any problem with it. We were all set.
Okay.
They came to the state. That wasn't the problem. It's just that everybody was really quick about putting walls up, getting people taken care of, making sure people were kind of in zones, and that they had communication. We were able to talk with one another. Nobody ended up dying, in fact, in Utah. Like, we just were on it. We were all over this thing. Hmm. Here's the problem in the dream. That seems cool and all. And I actually kind of think that's how things go, to be honest. I think the Walking Dead vision of the world and of humanity is kind of busted. I think it's a little, it's fun and it's entertaining, but I think it assumes the absolute possible worst in people, that show does, and that comic.
I think it does. I think you're right. I think that's that stuff definitely would go on. There would be people that take advantage of, that kind of situation to push themselves into power.
Absolutely. But the book and the TV show presume that's all there will be. And I understand it's for entertainment value. There is no drama without it. I get it, right? You don't have the show without it. Right. But this presumption that every single group of survivors has a serial killer in it, or a guy who's going to chop your hand off when you least expect it, or he's going to stab you for food, and that guy's going to go nuts and kill everybody. I just think that is a very dim view of humanity, and
your Utah dream also implies that all the zombie stuff happens outside of Utah, so you guys have time to prepare, as opposed to being infected from within.
Well, so but this is true of the whole country. So the dream was it came from Canada, so Canadians went zombie first and started coming south.
Okay,
so everybody had time to prepare. Everybody had to do their thing. Here is what got weird in the dream. Because we seem to be the most prepared, and I don't even think we are. If you look, in reality, I don't think we are. I think that's unrealistic. But let's just say, for the dream's sake, we were the most prepared. The zombie hordes come down from Canada, and as a result, because a bunch of other communities were not prepared, everybody from Colorado, Montana, the Dakotas, Washington State, Oregon, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Flooded into Utah because they heard that we had
that
it going on.
You guys had the right. Okay.
And this is where it went bad, because then we couldn't manage all the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dream was very specific about the the overarching kind of demographic problems. It's weird. It's weird. It felt like, I don't know, it was like having a board meeting dream. It was really weird.
No, that's really interesting because it doesn't, it looks at the zombie problem from a different perspective than coming around and eating people.
It was the logistics.
What happens to the population that's not infected and what do they do?
Yeah, it was logistics. It's exactly what it was. And the people came flooding in going, we got nothing in Montana. Nobody was ready. Our guns are all empty. We can't do it. And we're standing at the wall going, well, shite, we can't just not let him in. And this is when the Walking Dead part kicked in, where now you got to make hard decisions.
Right.
Because you don't have room or resources or food.
No
or whatever.
More Canadians. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, we're all done. No Canadians. No Mexicans. Sounds racist, but we're in a different world now. Sorry. Can't do that. You know, like it got weird.
Californians. And, sorry.
Yeah. No, we didn't want them ever, though. That was fine. Anyway, it was a really weird dream. And there was one other piece of the dream that I just thought was interesting. Two things. One, you did not feature in it. However, I remember,
no headless brand of it.
Yeah, I remember being worried in the dream that I would see you headless again. Isn't that weird?
Wow, a callback to another dream.
Yeah.
Your dream sucks.
Right, I know. And I was just kind of going, oh no, please don't be, you know, let's not have Brian show up on a wheelchair again with his head off trying to go. right, because that's not cool. I don't want that. Maybe it's that's what it'd sound like. So that didn't happen. You weren't in it. But then I woke up with this other thought, and I tweeted about it this morning. As soon as I woke up, I tweeted because I was afraid I was going to forget. For some reason, I was left with the idea that 100 years from today, Brian, today, actual real world today,
okay,
100 years from today, nobody who is alive today, save it be a few outlying babies who are born like today, mm-hmm, who will live to be 100 or more. Save those kids. None of us will be alive in 100 years. Nobody. Sure. The entire world, the entire human population, every 100 years. I mean, I know it's actually happening every day. Sure. So today that was 100 years ago. Tomorrow, 100 years ago, same thing. But every 100 years, everybody's extinguished and there's a whole new set, right? It's a big reset of humanity. Yeah. Now, because it doesn't happen all at once, it doesn't feel like a reset. It's this gradual thing. You pass down your traits, bap, 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 and everybody carries on and does whatever they do. Mm-hmm. But it just occurred to me that wouldn't it be an interesting sci-fi story or something? And maybe there's one like this somewhere. Someone could point it out to me. I guess Why the Last Man's kind of like this. But the idea that everybody, like, so let's say starting today, we knew that we have one century until we're all dead. Okay. There are no more births. All the births that happened yesterday are fine, but past yesterday, no births, no replenishment of the society. Every death means loss of human, finality. Nobody to take their place.
Sure.
That would be a really interesting story if you could somehow capture what that would be like over the span of those 100 years.
Right.
And kind of follow a few characters through that. And by the end of it, you know, it's like 12 people walking around going, well, shit, we're the only ones, you know. I just think that is, I don't know why I find that so fascinating, but for whatever reason, the dream just woke me up with this idea, this concept of man, you know, dying out in 100 years.
Yeah, children of men, there we go. That's, somebody's bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because there were no more births.
That's true. They didn't go as far. See that? Okay. You're absolutely, that's the story right there. It's just that they never took it past their early days. In other words, they didn't go all the way to the end. And the whole point of that story is they found somebody who could have a baby.
Who could still have a baby, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm talking about let's go all the way to the end. It is not a happy one. And by the end, it's like Night of the Comet. It's like one chick and a dog. And that's it. Anyway.
A cheerleader and her big sister.
Just a really cerebral evening for me.
Sure.
In dreamland. And wow. I don't know why, where all this stuff comes from. So let's wash that out of our minds.
I dreamt about a dog running around.
Oh, good. Did he poo facing north?
Because I really don't know.
We got a follow-up from Jake who says this. This is an update on the dog poo magnetic pole thing.
Oh, yeah, good. All right.
Hey, guys. About people's complaints related to whether or not their dogs poo north, your listeners just aren't paying attention. The blurb below clarifies that the Earth's magnetic field is only stable about 20% of the time during daylight. Besides that, the claim is that dogs align themselves with the north-south axis when they poo, not that they always poo north. Well, that sounds funny to me. So during the 20% of time when the magnetic field is stable, dogs will be pooing to the north or south. In other words, along that axis, not necessarily facing
right.
north.
Right. Okay, so.
That's an important point, though, isn't it?
North, east, west, south.
Yeah.
Wouldn't each direction then be about 25% of the time if it was a purely random sampling?
That's a good point.
If you take no magnetic field into account, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be 25? Wouldn't it average out to 25% in every direction?
Probably, yeah. And so, therefore, okay. is there any significance to the stat at all? That's kind of what that's where I landed on this. So, right. I'm still not convinced one way or the other that there's any significant increase in where dogs crap in terms of the direction.
You know, I totally believe Jake, and I think that I'm probably boiling it down to something. You know, it's probably 20% more likely when the magnetic field is stable that they're going to go north and south. Hmm. Not 25% of the time, right? You know, so like, let's say you took all the rest of the time that the 80% of the time that the magnetic field is not stable, divide that all up by right. four, right. northeast, west, south.
Right.
And then you'd have a little bit more of a leaning, an index, if you will, mm-hmm. of north and south dog populus.
The dog populus.
Populus.
Box populus. So here's another point I'd like to make. And by the way, the article he sent has got a great headline. It's what your dog is thinking when he's pooping. But it's
always looks like this is so embarrassing.
This is the worst day of my life. I hate my owner. I'd eat him if I could. Wasn't going to say. Oh, it's like the myth that some people are more predisposed to having girls versus boys when they have kids. And so you'll see a family that has like five girls in a row. You're like, well, apparently they had all the, but that's all been disproven too. If you have enough children, if you could just keep having them,
yeah.
Let's say 100 children.
Okay.
There is a far more likelihood that you'll end up 50-50 in the end. It's like flipping a coin. You can have five great flips in a row and end up being heads every time. That doesn't mean the coin's weighted or that somehow heads is preferable. If a coin is truly weighted equally, it is a true 50-50 chance. You just haven't done it enough times.
Sure. This
so is true. If because you have your dog poop enough times, it seems like you're eventually going to be about even.
You would think, yeah. Yeah, because each flip of a coin, just like each, you know, pull of a slot machine or each whatever,
right.
is a separate event, a separate randomized event. So five heads in a row does not increase the likelihood that the next flip will be tails.
Correct.
Because it's always 50-50.
Every time you flip it. Yes. Unless someone's cheating, like the slot machine argument. Well, since they're all video now, I don't trust them at all.
But they all have the loosest slots.
I mean, when I see somebody yank one of those things, all I think is, those guys can program it to do whatever they want it to do. Because sure. in the old days, a big old physical thing going shush-unk.
Yeah, but they could program those too.
Could they?
Yeah.
It seems less likely for some reason.
No, they could do that then. The the problem you run into is if you have crappy slot machines that never pay out, people leave.
That's a good point.
They have to have a slight house advantage, just enough to make you think that you can win or just enough to make you feel like you're winning, but in the long run, you'll always lose.
Oh, gambling. What are you up to now?
This is true.
All right. Well, enough about poo.
House advantage.
Always at play. Always a threat.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Still like Vegas. Good place to be. Mm-hmm. Good place to pick up the flu. It's fantastic over there.
Yeah, that's when you see people when they pull that handle, you see them like basically, you know, getting that 50-50 chance and throwing their money away. Mm-hmm. I see it as a bacteria buffet right there on that handle.
I'll bet you got it on that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The Willy Wonka one. Mm-hmm. The volume was just to distract me from the sound that the flesh eating virus was making as it landed on my skin.
Yeah. I have to think. I don't know if they've ever tested this or anybody's gone to the extent of trying this, but I have to think one of the most disgusting surfaces on earth has to be a busy handle in a casino.
And you laugh at the people who show up there wearing the doctor's mask, the surgical masks.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's something to that. Although I think it's touching the button, it's touching the spin again button, and then touching your eye or.
Oh. It's the worst thing to touch after you touch the button.
Eating an M&M, picking up an M&M and then putting it in your mouth.
Especially when you found on the carpet there. Bad idea.
Very bad idea.
Did that last time. All right. Well, we're going to add Daryl to the call and get him going. to be your first Trek nerd back now that you're with us and among the living. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Derp needs the help of the Frog Pants community. Derp, a.k.a. Andrew Smith, kinetic artist and trophy creator for the Frog Pants All-Stars, has been nominated for a Shorty Award. The Shorty Awards honor the best in social media across the web. This year, they've launched a new category, Vinographer, for those creating unique content on Vine. To vote for Derp, please visit shortyawards.com/derpvine. There's an awesome campaign trailer you can watch right there.
Yeah. He's cool. He's a local. He's the guy that did the duped the news into thinking they were aliens.
Yes.
He made that awesome trophy.
Cool kinetic art. I'm so impressed with
guy's amazing.
With his work.
You should see his shop. Just huge metal sculptures and kinetic machines and stuff. And his stop motion stuff he's doing on Vine is pretty incredible. He's got like 38,000 followers on there.
Wow.
Yeah. He's doing all right.
He should win.
Yeah, I think he should win. This stuff's good. He's talented as hell. Daryl, are you there?
I could be.
You could be. Daryl, it's funny that you're on because I wanted to mention something. It's not funny that you're on. You're always on. But do you know who the Wiggles are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The Wiggles are an Australian music group, kids group. Okay. And they perform on stage. They travel around the country and the world. They have a TV show and all that stuff and lots of DVDs and whatnot. And they sing and they dance and they do stuff. And little kids love it. All right. They're all into it. It's the Barney of our time. Mm-hmm. Actually, they were started in the 80s. So it's actually the Barney of all time or whatever. But the reason I bring them up is they have a very distinct resemblance to crew members on a starship. Do you not agree with me?
Oh,
on that?
Yes. First time I saw them, that's what I thought.
So do you think that is on purpose or are they... Was that just a happy accident?
Oh, I'm sure it's on purpose.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because they don't really... Excuse me. There's no sci-fi bent or whatever. No, I'm burping because my smoothie my wife made is like making me hiccupy. I'm barfing. It's barf week here on TMS. Anyway, I think it's weird and that nobody calls them out on it and says... Yo, y'all are wearing Trek uniforms. What's up with that? they don't say anything back to that. They just keep singing and dancing, which I think is a little creepy. All right, Daryl. That's my little Star Trek anecdote to start us out today. You got a hard trivia question here. Daryl's a bona fide Trek nerd, so he comes on the show and answers these trivia questions to the best of his ability. And if he gets this one right, perfect week, everybody. Perfect week. And I told you, I feel good about this one from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Here's your question. It's Next Generation related. In the Next Gen episode, Galaxy's Child, an alien baby latches onto the Enterprise. Geordi and Dr. Leah Brahms decide that the only way to get the alien off the ship is to alter the power frequency. Geordi says everything in space vibrates, or as he wrote, vobrates, at a certain radiation wave. Which unit of measurement does Dr. Brahms say this radiation wave uses? Is it A, millimeters? B, centimeters, C, meters, or D, kilometers?
What?
So there you go. It's all measured.
That's hilarious.
You sound like an American.
Measure a radiation wave with a physical length.
Yeah. That's what he's claiming here.
Okay.
I don't know if Mike's smoking crack or the what, but that's what he says. So all of these are measurements, millimeters, centimeters, meters, or kilometers. And at some point, they measure this vibration in the radiation wave via these measurement units. Now, we didn't get any food, did we? Everything's 5 miles from me right now. Damn it. Okay, this is the week of no food testing. Right. Welcome to the week of no food testing, everyone.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's fine. You know, Brian's still recovering, and we want him to feel well.
Aw.
I know, right?
Aw.
You didn't really say that.
Aw. Aw.
I love that it sounds just like you, and I could probably screw with people a little bit. I keep thinking about it.
Totally.
All right, Daryl, do we have any birthdays of any kind to celebrate today?
Well, coming up on Sunday, that'll be Kirstie Alley. She will be 63.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You may now give birth.
All right. Thanks, Worf. 63, that's ripe old age. And what does she do? Who's she?
She was Savick on The Wrath of Khan.
Hold on a minute. Who is it? Kirstie Alley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why do I think that we've done her already? I guess we did her last year.
Probably did it last year. We did Kirstie Alley last year.
That feels more recent than last year.
She's got so stumbled on her new sitcom recently.
What's it called?
Did you even know that she had a new sitcom?
Fat Closet something. What's it called?
It's called Kirstie.
Oh, Kirstie. Okay.
Fat Closet.
Wasn't something. There something closet?
Veronica's,
oh, Veronica's Closet.
Closet.
Yes. I thought it was. Okay, sorry. I don't know what I thought it was.
So on that show, she's got Rhea Perlman from Cheers and Michael Richards from Seinfeld.
What?
As regulars.
That's. Is it good?
It's bizarre. It's. No, it's not.
Not good.
It's. Wasn't very funny.
How's Rhea Perlman looking? How's she doing?
You know, she looks about the same. When you're Rhea Perlman,
you never change.
You never change.
Her and Danny DeVito, same people their entire
lives.
Yeah,
totally.
Aren't they? Exactly. They're still separated right now, I think. Didn't they get back together? I don't know.
They got back together.
Maybe. That was one of those marriages you thought would just, Hollywood marriages that would just last forever, and then
right. And marriages. I was like, who else is it going to take them?
And she caught Danny DeVito and Judd Hirsch making out in the back of a taxi, and she was like, "That's right. I'm out." Well, good. Well, happy birthday to Kirstie Alley. I really liked her on Fat Closet, and I'm sure she's doing great on her new show now. All right. Daryl, are you there?
Yes.
Great. That's Jerry. Let's get back to the question at hand, and it's a doozy, I think, because you seemed flummoxed from it the minute I said it. They measure these units with or these radiation things. They use a modern form of measurement, which is either A, millimeters, B, centimeters, C, meters, or D, kilometers, or kilometers.
Kilometers. How could a wave be so huge? That would just be, well, it would be huge.
But wasn't the baby that sucked on the ship, Hugh, I don't remember, what was the deal? Wasn't it like a big old, like, leech-looking thing?
Yeah, it looked like a big seed.
Yeah. And it was like a horta. It was like a giant horta, and it was out there sucking on the teat of the Enterprise, right?
It was saying, hole!
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like breastfeeding, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember it saying as it approached the Enterprise.
How about a booby?
All right, go ahead. Any chance I get to play that stupid clip, I'll play it.
Well, let's see.
Veronica's the gift that just keeps on giving.
So for them to measure that this wave, it would have to be a wave. I mean, waves are like frequency, like radio waves.
Yeah, sure.
And radio waves are not huge. They're not kilometers. They're not meters. They're either millimeters or centimeters.
Okay.
Usually.
Logical.
Seems logical.
So I think I will say, before I do this, the quote that you've been saying that Brian said when he barfed was not, excuse me, I have to barf. It was, I'm going to put down my headphones.
And throw up, he said.
Yeah, damn. Maybe he said that after, but if he ever puts down his headphones, worry.
Yeah, I think the exact quote, and I could be wrong, and Nice Worm needs to isolate it, but I think
He's already got it. He apparently just put it into Dropbox, yes.
All right, while we're talking here, I'll see if I can get a plan. But yeah, I'm going to guess that I think it was...
Well, he said he did, but it's not... I don't see it in there.
Yeah, I see Ice Worm. I see Ice Worm. It's syncing his folder right now, so it must be coming in.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he just sent it in. Anyway, we'll be on top of this. Don't worry. We're like a hot news source for your news here, and we'll. There it is. Brian Throw Up. It's called. All right, here we go. So this might be kind of quiet because his stuff's kind of quiet until I amp it. But here you go.
Hey, I'm gonna actually have to put the headphones down for a second and go throw up. Excuse me.
That's so funny. We'll get that all tweaked up. Do you even remember what you said or anything?
Well, I remember saying it, yeah. Then I just, it's so funny that I had the wherewithal. Hey, excuse me.
Hey, guys.
So excited about it.
I think that's why people are so impressed. It's because you freaking handled that.
Hold on, bro.
Yeah, that was great. I would have been just like, I don't know what I would have done. I think I just would have disappeared. Actually, I would have done something similar. I would have had some sort of, all right, folks, now we're going to take a break to, you know.
You would have too.
I'm going to go yak. All right. Daryl, sorry. You were deliberating, and
yes.
I don't know where you were.
No.
No, he was. He was. Go.
And how?
Yeah.
I don't know where I was here. Okay, I've crossed out meters and kilometers or kilometers. Millimeters or centimeters. Millimeters sounds like you're measuring the width of film or something.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, like 35 millimeters. So that's, they wouldn't use that. So that, guess that leaves centimeters.
Oh, I thought you said centimeters. Oh, you're saying millimeters would be for film. Yeah. Right, right, right. 35 yeah. millimeter. Right. Got it. So centimeters, you think?
I'm thinking that.
All right.
I hope it's right.
Well, let's find out. This is a perfect week, so it's a little bit of pressure on you here because there's nothing to win or anything except your pride. So let's find out if you did it. Is it centimeters?
Congratulations!
Nice.
You're a winner!
Says the radiation wave vibrates at 21 centimeters. They decide to alter the power of the frequency of the Enterprise to make the alien baby leave. Here
oh
is
my
a,
God. Yeah, that's when they said, oh, we're going to sour the milk.
Yeah, they
All
soured
we have to
the
do
milk.
Sour
yeah.
the milk.
That's exactly what they did. All right, we're running the clip. I don't know why it's not coming up. Hold on. Come on, man. Run this clip. Come on, Google. What are you doing? Oh, we don't have a clip because it's just hanging. Mike,
oh,
your
no.
clip won't play, buddy. I don't know why. It says it's not there.
Oh.
It's I do these on a link and it's not there. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll let that run in case it plays here in a second. I do remember this episode. Was this also the, this wasn't the Geordi one where he was kind of getting it on with the holodeck version of the Doctor, and then is that the same one?
I think it was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think this is a good episode. I think it's it relies on two very stupid tropes, which is Geordi is a loser at love. And animal would latch onto the ship like it was a mother's boob.
I, think yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that. I think I remember liking this episode, and I think that, the whole Geordi B plot line
yeah.
is totally believable. Like, you know, you'd basically say, oh man, you know, I could go on the holodeck and have my very own whoever.
Yeah.
My very own Kate Upton.
Yeah.
And then Kate Upton turns out to hop up on the ship for some reason, you know, because she's a scientist.
Sure.
And
she's got
like,
a good torso,
the,
too.
What the hell are you doing with my image in the freaking holodeck?
I could see that. And why did you fix her torso? Mine's not that weird, is it?
My hips don't look like that.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I just remember thinking, I remember not liking her, maybe, like the real one. She just put me off so much. And then it just got lost on me.
Yeah.
And
she was kind of cranky.
Yeah, she was super cranky.
Well, yeah, she was, yeah.
There you go. It's Daryl doing a perfect week. Haven't had one of those in a while, so it feels really, really good for both us and Daryl, I'm sure. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is also part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. What are you guys covering this week? What's the plan?
This week we did a live commentary track of Space Seed.
Oh, lovely.
Oh.
Oh, that's very nice. You owe FilmSack royalties for that, I think. just kidding. You owe us nothing. That's great. I love that kind of stuff, and now I will go listen to it because that sounds like fun. Just you two, you and Mike?
Yep.
All righty.
Oh, and a scientist type here at work, I work with geniuses, so I'm not one of those, but a scientist type tells me 21 centimeters is the wavelength of radiation that hydrogen gas emits.
Oh, really?
Really? Weird. Well,
that's a very...
A very moving story.
It's a very moving story. Yes. Tell him that, will you? Is he listening? Is that how he knew?
Yes, he is listening.
Ooh, don't listen
to him.
He's
in a different building, so he's sending me messages.
Well, that's awesome. That's cool. I like a guy on the inside.
What frequency is he sending the messages to you?
Yeah, well, how do you measure those?
1420 megahertz.
Wow, fantastic. Nice. All right, before we let you go, why don't you give us some sort of quiz thing for a Star Trek or a chair?
Okay. And that is exactly what it is. So I'll just say what it is.
All right.
Kreslow wave.
Kreslow wave?
Kresla wave. I'm going to say Star Trek thing.
You say Kreslow or Kresla?
Kreslow.
Kreslow wave.
Spell that for me, would you?
Kreslo.
I'm going to say Star Trek thing.
I'll say chair.
Oh. Scott's good. It's a chair.
Yeah. Wow. I am perfect on the chairs.
You were. Were they all chairs this
week?
They
were all chairs.
This is what's great. If you give me 100 chair questions, I will get 50% of them right. So don't.
Well, you got 100% of them right.
Well, I did, but this is the whole thing about flipping coins, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
Five right, four right. But if I kept going, eventually Brian's going to get it. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
Proving the statistical likelihood of a mumbo jumbo.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news!
And it's brought to you by maniacalindustries.com, your source for funny, science-y t-shirts, now with 20% less child labor. In other news, grats to the Frog Pants family on their many, many well-deserved awards. Derp!
Derp is right. Florida man poses as deputy for gun discount. These are all Florida stories today.
Oh, nice. Yep. Good. They all begin with Florida man.
Uh-huh. Florida-themed news today. A South Florida man has been arrested for allegedly flashing a Broward Sheriff's Office badge to try to get a discount in a gun shop. Crystal clear surveillance video shows the suspect posing as BSO deputy at the Tactical Firearms in Pompano Beach. Is that good? Is that a good place? What's that like?
That's pretty much where Del Boca Vista is.
Oh, is it really?
Phase two, Del Boca Vista at Pompano Beach.
I love that part of Seinfeld when they would go there. On the footage, BSO investigator said 22-year-old Christopher Everhart showed the fake badge to store owner Jan Hoffert. How would you say it? Hoffer. I wanted to make that harder.
I would not be able to make that sound with my throat right now you just made.
Don't do it. Don't try. You'll sound like the headless Brian Ibbett. While trying to buy a gun at the shop. On his second trip to the gun shop Monday, investigators alleged he once again asked for a discount from the owner. He said something was not adding up. It's just his demeanor, and basically his stories just didn't make sense. They didn't fit, says Hoffer. Knowing he was likely dealing with a fake deputy, he called the real Broward Sheriff's Office deputies to get one of them on to the bottom of what this guy was doing. So there you go. If you want to get a discount on a gun, dress up like a sheriff or a deputy.
Right. I discount the sheriff, but I did not discount the deputy.
I heard on the radio yesterday my favorite of all, the granddaddy of all misheard lyric songs.
It was
the Wrapped Up Like a Douche one.
Yes, yes. Blinded by the Light by either Manfred Mann or the original by Bruce Springsteen.
So I was listening to it with the kids, and they're convinced it says douche. I said, guys, it's deuce.
It's revved up like a deuce.
But
like
it
a deuce
sounds
coupe.
Like douche. It just does.
It sounds like. If you hear the original, if you hear the Springsteen original.
Oh, he did the original?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's way different, too.
All right.
Manfred Mann actually covered a lot of Bruce Springsteen stuff.
Oh, that's weird. That's one of those that made it his own, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
I had no idea. Another Florida man tased after refusing to obey Palm Beach Gardens officers at a P.F. Chang's.
You know, actually, if there's any part of our population that would develop, like, over time, like, evolve into a tolerance of tasing, it would be Florida.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
If you get tased enough, do you start to, is it
you
okay?
You start to develop a tolerance for tasing.
You start getting a taste for it? Kind of like it. Oh, taste. Ah, I didn't even realize I did that. Yeah. A 45-year-old Vero Beach man. What's his power?
Lives just south of Pompano Beach, but still goes to the same Applebee's. Excelsior.
The terrible power. Is in the Palm Beach County Jail after he caused a disturbance at a local P.F. Chang's restaurant and was then tased by Palm Beach Gardens police officers. James Groves was arrested Monday on charges of battery and law enforcement, or says law enforcement officers, resisting an officer with violence, it says. And disorderly conduct. Palm Beach Gardens police were called to P.F. Chang's on Monday. Mall security officer told the officer the guy was in the restaurant bar causing a disturbance and trying to get people to fight with him. So here's the question.
Yeah.
I've never been to a P.F. Chang's, first of all.
Oh, really?
I don't even know what that's like. Is it good?
Oh, it's good. Yeah, but it's
chain food Chinese, right?
It's Chinese chain food, yes.
Like a Chili's would be for Southwest Tex-Mex.
Right, exactly. Very, very similar to like the Applebee's, mm-hmm. Red Robin kind of feel. But
they have sushi and things? Like
No. It's they might actually like on their appetizers menu, they might have some sort of California roll kind of thing. Mm. But it's mostly like pot stickers and, big servings of sweet and sour chicken and Mongolian beef and stuff like that.
It's not like a what do you call it? It's not like a buffet, is it?
No, 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 no. Okay. No. It's a nice restaurant. It's like, yeah, I mean, people are saying it's a little nicer than Chili's. It's true. It actually is a little bit more upscale than Chili's.
Hmm. I wonder what would have a guy go into a P.F. Chang's and demand people fight him.
Right. Yeah.
It's really odd. And also the photo of this dude, he's just barely older than us. And I would argue he looks 12 years older than us.
Really?
Yeah. So, because he's what? He's 45. That's a year older than we are. Mm-hmm. He looks 58 to me. So I just want to make sure that I have the proper vision of myself. Do I look like this 58-year-old guy?
And
I just don't
know it. No kidding.
See what I mean? That the guy doesn't look 45.
He does not look 45.
Some tough living. I guess at some point, if you're 45 and you're fighting in a restaurant.
Tadpool, here's a link.
Something bad.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Something's gone south for Rumpled Face Man.
Fight me. Give me some lettuce wraps and fight me.
Squarespace.com is sponsoring today's program. I know a lot of you out there, you'll email and you'll ask, what do you do for podcasting? What kind of hardware do you use? How do you interview guests? Things like that. Kind of a lot of how-to questions.
Sure.
And a lot of that involves, well, what do I do on the web? How do I get a site up that will be a good landing place for people to come and find all my feeds and know where to go and do a regular blog post about every episode I put up and stuff like that? Because I don't know how to do those things, they say. So I come back to them and say, well, how about Squarespace.com? They're great for that and all kinds of other things. Portfolios, blogs, whatever. Whatever your site needs. You need to sell stuff. They got great sort of e-commerce tools that you can fire up and use as well. They're great. Go over to Squarespace.com. Try it out. Give all these things a shot. You don't have to put your credit card in. You just try it. Give it a little bit of time. And at the end of it, if you're like, you know what? This is awesome. I'm going to stay here and use it. Don't stay there and use it without saving some money. Use the code MORNING1. That's MORNING1 altogether. The number one, numeral one, by the way. And that will get you 25% off on your next visit and your next order over there at Squarespace.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and brought to you by...
My little brother suffers from complex regional pain syndrome, and recently has been inspired by tales of generosity emanating from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Having seen what a difference the charity makes to the lives of young people, my first thought was, how can I help? We're streaming for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The stream can be found at twitch.tv/rationality revised. That's RATIONALITY revised. You can also follow me on Twitter for updates at Greg_Harrow, HARROW.
I like to see people take action and stuff totally. They believe in. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
Lohan. Lindsay Lohan.
Lohan.
Her laptop was stolen.
Don't mess with the Lohan.
Lost her notebook, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, stolen at a Shanghai airport. It was Shanghai'd.
Ah.
That's probably a super racist phrase. It has some horrible roots and some terrible history, wow. But I'll say it anyway. Her laptop was stolen at a Shanghai airport. She recently traveled there for the Sohu Fashion Achievement Awards. She had a little bit of trouble en route. The 27-year-old's laptop was stolen while she waited for her flight out of China. That means you weren't watching it, dude. Don't you listen to the people that say, please keep your luggage near you at all times.
What about her entourage, you know?
Does she have one? I don't know.
She has to still have an entourage.
Hmm. What a sad...
There's got to be people watching her, you know, constantly.
That's a sad thing, though.
I mean, and there's got to be paparazzi catching somebody on film stealing her laptop.
Yeah. Worst part of this article is this one right here. Gossip Cop reports that on Tuesday. Gossip Cop. January 7th, Lohan tweeted about the theft, writing, "It was great to be in China, and I want to thank everyone for their hospitality. However, someone has stolen my computer at the airport, offering a reward for anyone who can retrieve it and return it. Bummer to go home without it. XO, L-O, and then L for Lohan.
Sure.
Or Lindsay, I guess.
Probably Lindsay, yeah.
The tweet has since been removed from her Twitter account, but Lohan has not said whether or not she was able to retrieve her laptop before leaving the country. That's a weird thing to take off your tweet.
Yeah, you know what? When I would take a tweet off my account is when I realized I put my laptop in another bag.
Oh, ah. Mm. Good point.
Oh, or, oh, so-and-so grabbed. Oh, okay. Whoops. Let's fix that.
My daughter, I didn't tell you this story. We were on our way back from Phoenix, and we were in the airport waiting for our flight in that awful airport they call an airport in Phoenix. I hate that airport. I really do hate it. It's claustrophobic and tiny, and the ceilings are low. I just don't like it. It feels like something out of the 60s that never got updated. Yours, on the other hand, is awesome.
Yeah, I love, well, unless you have to get from one terminal to another, and
then it's hell.
It's a long way, which you've experienced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's beautiful. It's a really nice place to be in. This one's just miserable and kind of oppressive. But anyway, we're sitting down waiting to go. The kids have all gone to the bathroom three times because we're like, you can't, you know, unless you want to go on that plane, you got to go now. So they all sat down, and all of a sudden, my wife's phone rings. She pulls her phone out of her purse, and she goes, it's from Taylor. And Taylor's sitting right next to her. Mm. She's like, what? So she answers it, and she goes, hello? She goes, yes, who's this? And Kim goes, who is this? She goes, I'm sorry, I'm in the ladies' room in the Phoenix airport, and I think your daughter left her phone in here.
Oh, no.
And the only reason she knew it was her daughter is because Kim is listed as the greatest mom in the world is the name, which is kind of sweet.
That is sweet.
But, so the lady called her from the stall.
You don't want to know what Tristan has me and Tina in his phone as.
I'd love to know. What is it? Can you say?
I'm sure it's like, I think mine is something like Great Overlord Dad. And I can't remember what Tina's is. I know mine contains the word Overlord.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, maybe not the word great.
No, just Overlord.
Just Overlord, yeah.
OL for people who know you real well.
For short, right?
So she left her phone in the stall and almost left it. And it just reminded me there are some good people left in this world. This is a nice iPhone 5 that Taylor had saved her money and bought. Mm-hmm. Got it all herself. It was a really nice phone, just sitting there, and this lady was thoughtful enough to call, and that's they went and met by the bathroom and got it. And that was good because Taylor's somewhat addicted to her phone and probably would have died if she hadn't gotten it.
And she doesn't have the button passcode lock on there, which actually saved her in this case, right?
Yeah, because in this case it did.
They wouldn't have been able to call her.
That's what I told her. You know what? She does have it, but it's set to like that half-hour interval or whatever it is.
Like it won't.
Yeah, so your phone can do that.
She left it on in the bathroom then?
No. It has that half-hour interval between when it asks you for a passcode again. So the way the passcode works. Yeah. The way the passcode works is if you shut it, you can set the timer. It can be every 5 minutes, 20 minutes. So the idea is that if you're using your phone a lot and you're all in one place and you're having to keep put the code in, that's super annoying. So they give you this big spacer of time. That's not true with the new thumb sensor 5S one.
Sure.
Because if you're using the thumb sensor, it's going to make you have either that or the code every time. But gotcha. Yeah, the fives and the iPads and all that stuff in iOS 7, you can do you can have it spaced all out on time if you want. So she got lucky and had a half hour every time, or a half hour between when you have to put the code in, and that's the only reason that lady could call us.
Wow.
Which worked out kind of nice. Although I still think she should have it on there every time, but whatever. Nominees for British Academy Film Awards are out.
Okay.
These guys all have to one up us and have a nominations way before we do. Jackasses.
Right.
Nomination.
First.
Yeah.
First.
You're like the worst YouTube people ever. Nominations in the main categories for the British Academy Film Awards were announced on Wednesday. And here are some of this, the ones that matter most, I suppose. For best film, they have 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Gravity, and Philomena. Hmm. Don't know what the hell that is.
Philomena.
Philomena. I keep hearing the new Coen Brothers movie is the one to beat, though.
Oh, Inside Llewyn Davis?
Yeah, here in the
I
States.
Can't wait to see that.
Outstanding British film goes to Gravity.
Wow, they have an Outstanding British Film Award?
Well, it was made there, so.
Yeah.
Mandela.
We don't have outstanding American film.
I know. It's pretty, I think it's pretty, what's the word? It's exclusionary. Yeah, territorial. Right. Yeah, jerks. The hell, man. American Hustle is a British film, I guess. Mm-hmm. How is that a British film? Oh, no, I read that on the wrong line.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Gravity. The next one
is. Their version is British Hustle.
Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. Philomena again. Rush, Saving Mr. Banks, and The Selfish Giant. That's a weird list.
Well, once upon a time, there was a giant. I'm just picturing this movie.
Yep. He was very selfish. He wouldn't share any of his bread. Oh, we got the movie done. It's all good. We're all that. We're out. Director Steve McQueen, just risen from the grave and is directing films now.
What?
He's a real dude.
He's just a different dude.
Yeah, he's also not white. 12 Years a Slave, he's the director of that. David O. Russell for American Hustle. David O. Russell for American Hustle. Paul Greengrass for Captain Phillips.
My guess is when the Oscars come out, that is not going to be the first time that that rhyme is going to be going to be uttered and remarked upon.
It's going to annoy me, too.
Right.
Paul Greengrass for Captain Phillips. Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity.
Yeah.
And Martin Scorsese. Or as my dad used to say, Martin Scorsese. I don't know why. The Wolf of Wall Street. Four directors. Anyway, then a bunch of actor crap and all that. But the British are coming, everybody. Batting down the hatches. When is the Academy Awards stuff? Because we ought to be all over that. As far as like, I really wanted this year to be like a competition where we have some bets going.
Yeah, I'd like that. The nomination stuff happens pretty soon. I want to say, because the ceremony is around the beginning
of March. Yeah,
of March.
End of February, early March.
Yeah,
I want to say it's true.
I'm looking it up because it should be right around now because you usually have. Let's see here. 2014 Oscar nominees, January 16th. So one Earth week from today.
Wow. All right. We're in.
So we'll be talking about that and we'll start placing our bets.
Our virtual bets. We could have a little, if somebody in the chat room wants to head up kind of a cool office pool kind of thing with the tadpole and get everybody involved, that'd be great.
That would be great.
Yep. I don't want to do the work, though, so someone else do that.
No.
Not interested. No time. No time for that.
No time.
I don't know why. I'm the maid from Family Guy suddenly. what else? Oh, gosh. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the program. Tweaked Audio, everybody. Tweaked Audio. Oh, yeah. You heard it. Tweaked Audio. Engineered for durability. Great earbuds. Stick them in your ears and think nothing more of it. They're great. They have all the styles you'll need to sort of accent your wearable life, and they'll give you a lifetime warranty. We love these guys. You guys will too. We talk about them all the time, and I love to. It's Stream at checkout for 33% off. Let's save you some money and get you something awesome at tweakedaudio.com. All right, we're going to take a break. Whence we come back, Wendy will be here for Therapy Thursday. Got a great question for her today. Probably applies to many people out there. And a couple other things, but before we do all that, Brian has a musical presentation.
I do. So this one is going out to Stuart Edwards from South Wales in the UK. Says, good morning, Smash and Bash. I've listened to TMS from the very beginning, and I would like to say, well done. Bloody good show. Wow. I'm celebrating the meaning of life, the universe, and everything today as I am 42. Could I please request a cover? Congratulations to all the Frog Pantheons for the awards. Keep up the great work. And remember to always carry a towel. Blow the snow, though. Stuart Edwards from South Wales.
Okay. Glad you corrected that.
Yes. Blow the show, though. Mm. This song was one of the Coverville Countdown 2013 winners. This one came out right around Valentine's Day last year. And is so damn good. I'm going to play it again in today's show, played in on Coverville. This is Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer. Now, this is a genre called chap hop, which is like trip hop or hip hop. But instead of it being rappers, it is a gentleman rhymer.
Wow. And
you'll see what that is. It's a cover of the LL Cool J song, I Need Love. Here is Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer.
Oh, I love the name. I'm sure I'm going to love the song.
Yes, you will.
And we'll be right back in a minute. Everybody hang tight.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall. And in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. There I was, giggling about the games that I've played with many hearts, and I'm not saying any names. Although there was that Catherine Fosbury Smythe from Cheam, and there was that girl, that waitress from Claridge's, she was rather nice. Oh, back to the song. Then the thoughts occur. Teardrops made my eyes burn. I said to myself, look what you've done to her. I can feel it inside. I can't explain how it feels. All I know is that I'll never dish another raw deal. Playing make-believe, pretending that I'm true. Holding in my laugh, but they say that I love you. Saying I'm all, kissing you on the air, whispering I love you and I'll always be here. Although I often reminisce, I can't believe that I find desire for true love floating around inside my soul, because my soul is cold. One half of me deserves to be this way till I'm old, but the other half needs the affection and joy and the warmth that is created between a girl and a boy. I need love. Dear delight, how sweet, I've got to find me a girl to make my life complete. You can scratch my back, we'll get cozy and huddle. I'll lay down my jacket so you can walk over a puddle. But don't take liberties, okay? I'll pay for your rose, pull out your chair when you eat, kiss you on the cheek and say, ooh girl, you're so sweet. It's deja vu with another eye with you. I could go on forever telling you what I do. But where are you at? You're neither here or there. I swear I can't find you anywhere. Damn sure you're not in my closet or under my rug. This love search is really making me mad. And if you know who you are, then make yourself seen. Take a chance with my love and you'll find out what I mean. Fantasies can run, but they can't hide. And when I find you, I'm going to pour all of my love inside.
Steady on that.
I need love. When I be sitting in my room all alone, staring at the wall, fantasies, they go through my mind, you see. And I've come to realize that I need true love. And if you want to give it to me, girl, make yourself see. I'll be waiting. I love you!
I don't smoke a great deal, but when I do, I want a cigarette that tastes better to me than any other. That's Lucky Strike.
As Amy Vandeville says, smoking enjoyment is all a matter of taste. And the fact of the matter is, Lucky's taste better, cleaner, fresher, smoother, for two very good reasons. One, LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Two, Lucky's are made better to taste better. So be happy. Go Lucky. Next time you buy cigarettes, ask for Lucky Strike.
No.
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Yeah, you have. Here we are. We're back. Yes. That guy was great. That was awesome.
Kind of Stewie-esque a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider that until you just said that. But yeah, very Stewie-ish. Mm-hmm. I think I might get that whole album.
No.
Yes, I will.
Yes.
Yeah, don't say no.
No.
No, what?
Well, that's
no?
That's a free download from his... SoundCloud account, so his regular album doesn't feature any covers, but it's all that good.
It's that kind of stuff?
Yes, exactly like that.
I'm all in then. Oh! I did not mean to click that.
Winner!
Nobody has won anything.
Oh.
Everyone go home. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Okay. Wendy time.
Yay!
Wendy Dunford. Here we go. Let's bring her in. Last week, I felt like we had a really good... Therapy Thursday. We were changing lives that day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see if today's any different. I don't feel like we've ever really had a bummer one, you know? It's always worked out pretty well.
No, it's always been really good.
Hi, Wendy. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. You sound a little more awake today.
I am ready to go.
You've had a week of recovery and...
What?
Well, you know, you were just getting off that trip last week, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was kind of bad.
And you were super tired, as I recall.
Do something embarrassing like sing to all of you or anything.
Yeah, don't do that. Or do. It's fine. People loved it.
Sure, sure.
That was not a problem.
Done.
Well, good deal. Here's our chance to have another Therapy Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we talk to Wendy Dunford, my sister and a real therapist, someone who sits down with real people each and every day and helps them with their life's problems, issues, and questions. We got a good one this week. At least I think so. So here we'll just jump right in. So here you go. We got to get the thing. There it is. Okay. Hi, says A. We're going to call this person A. Let's call that short for, I don't know, anonymous. How about that?
Perfect.
Hi, my fiance and I think she spelled it wrong. Anyway, whatever.
No, it just should be an accent over the E.
That's what's throwing me off.
It couldn't be your misreading.
Yeah, I think I'm used to seeing the accent. Anyway, my fiance and I are expecting twins this spring, and we are very excited about it. There are four children, or sorry, these are our first children.
There are four children.
I was wondering what advice Wendy might have for expectant parents about communicating and dealing with the new stressors. They aren't even here yet, and there are a lot of changes being made around the house and to our lifestyles. I especially want to know how I can communicate my wants/concerns a little bit better. I have years of experience with infants and children, but having half siblings born when I, or let's see, from having half siblings born when I was a teenager to my career in the early childhood field. My fiance does not have any experience with babies, and that's okay. The problem I'm running into is that he feels I don't value his opinion and think that he's an idiot. I feel sad that he feels this way, but I don't know how to make him feel feel heard when I don't agree with him. I feel that his inexperience leads him to conclusions that aren't safe or just impractical. I need help in how to communicate with him without making him feel like he has no say in baby preparation matters. Thanks. Signed, Anonymous. Okay. So this is a case of know-it-all mom is already in early childhood development slash education in some form or factor, has a bunch of experience with little kids, understands kind of more of that than he does, and he's got no experience with it other than instinctual father stuff and whatever. Is she?
Let's be honest. Yeah. Not everyone has instinctual father stuff.
No, that's true. I'm sure. And maybe he doesn't either. I don't know.
Yeah.
But bottom line is her... You know, this reminds me of when I married Kim. This is kind of, it's not exactly the same, but when I married Kim, she used to draw all the time. She was all into it and she's good. She's really good. And she met me and quit drawing. And I asked her why very early in our marriage. I said, why are you drawing anymore? She says, I don't feel comfortable drawing anymore because I don't feel like it stands up to what you're doing. And we had this big kind of conversation about it. And I thought at the time it was a little bit weird. But I kind of understand where she's coming from. She felt like she was, you know, it would be like, what would it be like? It'd be like, you know, I don't want to play basketball with Michael Jordan anymore. Not comparing me to Jordan in drawing, by the way, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, I need to, that makes me feel weird or I feel less because of it. Or in this particular case, this guy's like, I don't have all this experience, but I think I know this. And she's going, well, you don't, because I, So is this a common thing? And is it a, is this the cause of consternation in marriages, or is this pretty isolated and kind of unique for them?
No. I mean, I think it's pretty common. It might be kind of an extreme version because not every soon-to-be mom is a childhood expert, right? Mm-hmm. It might be a little more so. She just has a little more experience and thinks she knows what's up, right? Here's the thing is... she knows textbook and she has some practical experience, but there's nothing like having your own kid to make you feel like you know nothing.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get some colicky twins and then she'll, it'll humble her right up. No, I'm not meaning to attack her, but
I went to high school with the colicky twins.
Yeah. The colicky twins were great.
They were adorable.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Cute as buttons.
No, I think, and my point being, you put yourself in his shoes and there's two things that can happen. And she sounds like she's already sort of sensitive to this, and which is a good sign that they can do this differently. But it is a very common dynamic if one partner, and it's typically the mom, sort of has very specific ways things are done, or the right way, in quotes, if you could see my air quotes, the right way. And men... this is a whole nother generation of men. These are not our grandfathers and fathers who, you know, couldn't even go into the hospital, you know, It's a lot different, much more involved, have a lot more freedom. I'm not saying they never had sort of nurturing feelings before. They probably did, but a lot more social sort of acceptability to be more nurturing. There's stay-at-home dads. There's much more involved fathers. Sure. You have a lot of single dads who are, you know, kind of doing it all as well. And, you know, it's different.
Yeah. It's cool and way more acceptable for a dad to be cool dad, take care of the kids, dad instead. In the old days, I would say maybe dad or maybe his generation before him, it was all about, you know, you going out there and changing horseshoes all day and you coming home and kind of being a little standoffish, and you only ever shook your son's hand. You never hugged him again.
Right. There was no emotional
Sure. Right. And I mean, it's kind of a stereotype, but there were really people like that back in the day.
And it varied in families, but you're right. And so, but I think women have to be really careful, because there's an expectation that they help more, and you know, you see other fathers around you with a baby on their hip and changing diapers, and you know, and so you have these high expectations for men, and then we do this thing that absolutely sabotages what we really want, and that is to be critical. And so I had a conversation, or a bunch of girls were together for a girls trip, and I watched my friend have a conversation with her husband. She was kind of off to the side, and he was in medical school, very busy. He's an orthopedic surgeon, hardly around anyway, right?
No.
Well, he's taking the kids while she's on this trip. And I hear her like drill him on what her kids wore to, you know, church, or did they go to school with their teeth brushed, and you know, like the whole, did that, well, that didn't match. I mean, it was like, it made me cringe, like, oh, you're scary. You know, it was this whole, like, did you do it right? Did you do it right? And then she gets off the phone and then comes and tells us, like, oh, they didn't wear something, like, kind of laughing. But that was not her interaction with her husband. It was critique and how dare you put that sweater on, you know, whatever. And so I had a conversation with her about, like, so does he act like he doesn't want to be doing that? And I, at this point, I don't know. I mean, she does literally everything alone and complains about it because he works so much. But also, I think she's trained him, and I think you can easily do this. Train them not to help you by being so critical. Put yourself in their shoes. If you did something as you're learning to parent with very little experience that your partner is like, makes that face like, what? Or she put two words in her email, dangerous, and what was the other word? Or unsafe, or what'd you put?
Let's see.
Not practical.
Not practical and dangerous, yeah.
And dangerous.
Yeah.
So, and a good question is, are we talking like, we don't need car seats, kind of dangerous, or?
Oh, aren't safe or just impractical. Those are the two words.
Aren't safe. Okay. So dangerous was my word I overlaid on that. But anyway, this idea that, you know, is it really dangerous? So when one of my kids was born, I don't know, Adam was watching the nurse bathe the baby after, right? And this woman, I mean, might have been like a pizza, I don't know, just flipping them around and holding them by the feet and scrubbing them till they're like, and I had never seen that before. He's telling me, I'm like, oh. And then I saw after my niece was born, I was in the room while she was being bathed. And that woman, I mean, is looking at us and talking, flipping this baby around and scrubbing her raw. It was like, oh, what are you doing? And the truth is, they're not as fragile as you think. But also, just experience means you recognize they're not as fragile. You're not going to ruin them by the first thing you do wrong. And parenting today is so anal retentive. It is like, they must not have this, and they can only have this. And we're so careful that our kids are never exposed to one free radical, or that they have the best of this. And, you know, it's so controlled that it's so easy to make a mistake in if that's the standard, right?
Yeah, right.
Whereas the average mistake, that's how any of us learns, right? You have to screw up. You have to do. Now, don't let him, you know, cut the fingernails of the baby with a knife. Sure, that's probably not a good idea. But you're talking like, you've got to give this guy plenty of chances to become a child expert. You've gotten your chance. It's now his. Yeah. And he gets to practice on two people he will love more than life's bread, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what a great opportunity. But it really is, the onus is on her to control her mouth.
Yeah.
It really is. So if he feels this way now, these kids aren't even here.
Yeah.
So that tells me she's already doing this.
Yeah.
In some form. Obviously not intentionally. She doesn't like that this is happening.
Right.
But she's thinking, well, he needs to maybe grow a thicker skin, or he needs to just do it my way because I'm the, you know, expert. She needs to really check how she believes about this, because whatever is going on, she's giving some sort of message probably that she's the expert and he's not.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that feeling from the email. And it's, again, this should be made really clear. I don't think Wendy or me or anyone is saying that you are meaning to sound like that to him, or that that's your intent is to be this thing that's driving the wedge, but it may very well be. And recognizing that is a huge deal. Now, that isn't to say that, you know, if he says, I think we ought to not do cribs. I think we ought to hang them in a sack of flour and push them with my shotgun to put them to sleep. I mean, we're not saying that those things make sense. But it very well could be that you're just doing, like I do this with certain things. You're like, a very small thing will come up and you'll take a stance on it and fight to the end for it and realize, well, that was just a dumb thing to fight for. Like, what was the point of that?
Right.
That was a mild, dumb, easy, no problem deal, and I made it a huge deal. So maybe there's some of that going on, you know.
And this is also, I mean, they're not married yet. They're getting married. I mean, they're planning this life together. Two babies. Wow, people. Like, maybe she has enough experience, and two babies doesn't scare the crap out of her, but it should.
Some intense preparation going
on. Well, and the reality is, if this was one baby and this kind of was happening, you know, she might have to be more careful, but the reality is she'll have two. She will always want to be handing one to him.
Mm-hmm.
He will get so much practical experience out of necessity that, you know, this might go smoother than she thinks, because she's really going to need him.
Yeah.
But this, again, I think the solution comes down to, it's not, she needs to check what she feeds. So for example, if she is critical, or, you know, she's got to learn what can I let go and let go of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or she's going to build resentment. And men have said this in every survey you will ever see, that if their wife treats them a certain way about childcare, they will quit.
Yeah.
No one likes that. No one likes to be told they're doing something wrong or they never get it right. It's just like a kid. They're going to stop trying to please you and just go somewhere else, play lots of video games. I always have to throw that in.
You always like to throw in the video games.
Sort of isolate from family life, right?
Yeah.
If she really wants a partner, she's got to nurture a partner rather than make sure those babies have everything done perfectly and the nursery's always, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important thing. But I would say an overarching, bigger picture thing they could work on is how to communicate about this. So the babies aren't here yet. They're not sleep deprived yet. They're not, you know, quite in the thick of this yet. And so now is a great time to figure out how to communicate about how they're feeling.
Much harder when you're already two-man defense and they're already here and you can't just stop and go, all right, we need to have a family meeting.
Yeah.
You know, forget that the kids are both screaming because they're my nipples are closed up and or whatever the thing is that's causing the problem. You know, it's much, much easier to tackle now, I would think.
Right.
Even though right now things seem intense because they're not here yet and you don't know what's happening yet. And even if you've had experience with it, she still has a lot of unknowns, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think the other piece to that is that this is where women want what they want, but they do the opposite thing to get it. So if they're critical of their spouses in how they help, then they, you know, they're critical and they want it done their own way. So I really need the laundry done this way. So now he's off laundry forever because you have your specific rules around it. So now you have laundry forever, plus all the other things that you have to be just so. And then you have these kids who are unpredictable and who knows what you're going to get. And you're going to be desperate for help at different times in your marriage. Now, if you then have created that space and there's no crossing it and there's no communicating about it and you kind of just have gone to your corners, then it's harder down the road to ask for that help or to ask for those changes.
And also, haven't you also built a bubble where now you can't, you're not even getting good outside help? Because I feel like that's the thing that happens a lot with new parents. They think they're the first people to ever have kids.
Yeah.
They think all their reading and research is the first time that's ever been thought of or worked on. And they think they're the parents that have got it all figured out. And the rest of us who have raised children and get it are irritated by that. That is irritating.
Well, it's not as much irritating as it's just fun to watch. It's like, oh, okay, boy, are you in for a surprise.
Yeah, this will be real fun for you when you realize that, you know, whatever the thing is you're doing with your kid that's weird or whatever, that book you're reading or that expert you're watching on TV or whatever,
mm-hmm.
just wait until, you know, why don't you just throw that all away and just be a freaking parent and knock it off. But my biggest thing is if you think that you've got it all figured out, you're less likely to go to a friend who's had some real experience with this and go, what did you do? And then get some real life experience from people. I think that you limit yourself when you're not willing to accept that other people have seen some business. You know, they've seen some dirt in their life, and they may have some advice,
right?
And support and other things. And if you isolate yourself and you're not commuting, you know, your husband's not communicating with you, you're not communicating with him, then you're kind of on your own. And then it's, you know, it's the Lord of the Flies, and we're just trying to decide who's going to kill Piggy.
Well, part two is if she has already decided she's the expert, then she's in trouble because she's not. And I'm not an expert. I have four kids. I've kept alive for a long time. Not long enough, but, you know, pretty long.
You still have some time, yeah.
Right. But I know the more... Hi, Elliot. Okay, bye. You can have that. No, bye. He wanted to come in and still. I have a plate of food just staring at me that wants to be eaten, and he comes in. Can I have that?
No, he wants to anyway, eat it. Yeah.
No, but you have this, like, if you have to be the expert, you're setting yourself up to be wrong because you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you take anyone, you know, how many therapists who in theory should know a lot about communication have some crappy family lives and terrible relationships? A lot of them.
Mm.
And so you almost put yourself in a tricky position by, well, I know, or I read this, or, you know, there's a feeling of you're out of control. And so to feel in control, this is why we like experts, right? We feel more in control, like, well, they know and they've done these studies or, you know, whatever. So there might be some of that, especially when two kids come along, to feel some control. But the main key here, let me make one last point. She can make him feel stupid and he doesn't do anything right. She might even do this inadvertently, but there is going to come a moment where she's going to really resent him as he goes off and has a night of basketball with his friends and she's there with two kids. And really needs help, but doesn't know how this help comes because they haven't figured out this dance together, then that resentment builds. And then you have a very common thing that happens in marriages where, and this is kind of older, new generation stuff is a little bit different, but it's the fine, I deal with the kids, I'm the mom, you know, I take care of all that. You go earn the bacon and never the twain shall meet. Yeah. And then this real division. And that's why the second highest divorce rate happens when the last kid leaves home.
Yeah.
Because we stay together for the kids, but really we have no life together. And so when she's talking about this, I know she's asking specifically, like, I don't want my husband to feel bad and what can I do to make this better? I'm looking at the bigger picture, which is if he's already feeling stupid and disconnected from this process, your number one job needs to not be making sure that nursery looks good. Your number one job needs to be that he feels safe in this relationship with you as you have children together.
Yeah.
And communication is key. Getting help. Don't let this go very long. If you two are grumpy with each other for more than 6 months, go see somebody. Yeah. Like, it starts small and it will get huge and it will divide you.
Yeah. He should be doing the same thing, by the way. Like the idea that you have to, this person may take this as, well, I just need to coddle him then. I have to do everything for him and make sure he's okay all the time. Well, no, he has to too, but because you got the stance already of he's doesn't know anything and I know everything, it is kind of incumbent on her, right, to kind of set that ship right before he can do that. And then when he can, then it's true teamwork. Like, that was the most surprising thing about the kids when they were really young and babies and stuff, was how much of a team thing it is. And if you're really performing as a team and nobody's pretending like they know more than the other or are acting like it or whatever, or even if you do know more, it's so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really that big a deal. Oh, it's my night. All right, I'm up. I got it. 3 o'clock. Where's the milk? Okay, cool. Like, you just do it.
Right.
And it's fine and you're happy and everyone's great. So I feel like he'll get there too, but you got to give
him time.
Yeah, you got to give him time.
You got to give him time and lots of practice. Just like you learned, he will learn. But here's the other problem I'm going to throw out there is, do you like how I just rail on the parenting?
I like it.
It's so frustrating. You know, the whole vitamin C used to be good for you. Now it kills you. You know, that kind of
eggs are bad. Eggs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, one of the worst disasters in our country's history. There's a lot that I could talk about, but I think one of the worst is the self-esteem movement. Yeah. It's kind of like the fat-free crazes from the 80s just made us all fatter, right? Well, self-esteem movement has just depleted everyone's self-esteem. It had the opposite effect, which is, you know, experts telling parents, tell your kids they're great. Well, the opposite thing is what you need to get actual self-esteem, is not having your mom think you're awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She thinks you're awesome anyway. It's stupid. Anyway, so you have all these experts saying certain things. I'm going to recommend a great book. It's a you can listen to it in your car. That's my favorite time to listen to it because my kids can hear it and they think it's really interesting. It's called Nurture Shock. Poe Bronson is the author. I actually remembered an author. Is that amazing?
Poe Bronson. That's a cool name.
Poe. And it goes through all, like, I think it's 10 things. I can't remember the number now, of things we think we know from parenting experts, things we think we know because they seem logical or we've heard about a study or something, and how the science just absolutely does not support any of it.
Oh, I'd like to read
that. So one is that single kids or only children are worse off than people who have siblings. And the research is really interesting on that. Another one is kids and lying. That is a great one. Parents, actually, we are training our kids to lie and we think we're not. It's really, it's interesting. And then another one is about, is the praise, self-esteem stuff. And then testing bright kids at 5 and 6 years old and how that has backfired in lots of ways. Anyway, it's just really cool. But what I love about it is it's interesting and I nerd out on it, but it is a great example of how everything we think we know is actually probably wrong, right? Or there's nuances that we don't think about. We sort of hear a stat or hear about a study or just some moshmo says, this is this, and they claim they're an expert. And then now we're basing some of our daily behavior on that. And we just need to be, maybe think more intuitively rather than waiting for someone to tell us what to do. And it sounds like the fiance, without any experience, you know, it's probably like, well, I'll read all these books and get to know what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, your greatest teaching is doing and then communicating well together and being a team. Learn from her, because she probably does really know some stuff. And she needs to not act like she's the expert either and see this as a team effort. You know, like starting a business together. They really are starting a business together.
Yeah, it's a bit. Yeah. It's a freaking business. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no getting out of it.
Yeah, and there's no payoff at the end other than you see how your kids turn out.
Oh, sure, there's a big payoff.
What's that?
Well, it's not a cash payoff, but you hit it right on the head. It's seeing how your kids turn out.
Well, yeah,
it's,
that. I meant literally there's no cash payoff like a business.
I see what you're saying.
It's very expensive.
There's no good money in it.
Sending them out on their own is the payoff.
Yeah, I guess so. If they go, I mean, look, if they go on to be.
And that is a cash payoff.
Like famous heart surgeons and they retire you, that, I guess that's a pretty good payoff or something like that. But yeah, I just feel like this is a case where they have all the wherewithal to actually be in the. To fix this before it's a problem.
Right.
So I feel this weird urgency for this to happen for some reason.
Of course, if we could have a, you know, a live interaction with her, I would ask him about his childhood, of course. So where are the messages that he's stupid or he's an idiot if he doesn't know something right away? Because who expects anyone to know how to take care of twins before they're born?
Nobody.
Right?
Nope.
But he is feeling that maybe it's from her, but it also might be some of his other stuff, which is likely that it's not just her, you know, her being the expert. Maybe he just feels like he has to be right about everything or no, you know, his ego is pretty wrapped around stuff like that. So that might be an interesting thing for them to explore because if he feels like a failure really quickly, then he'll check out. And the last thing you want with twins is your husband to check out.
Yeah.
Or any kid, one kid. So, it, you know, there could be deeper stuff. You know, maybe his dad was never around. This hasn't been modeled to him. And there's also a hypocrisy in society that a dude changes a diaper and he's put on a pedestal. And a woman can change 4,000 diapers and she's still not doing it, you know, enough or whatever, right?
Right.
So there's some interesting dynamics. There's also one other book I would recommend. This is not even on the same topic as far as, you know, doing things right or whatever, but it's called And Baby Makes Three, and it's by John Gottman and his wife, her first name, Lisa or something.
Lisa Gottman, got it.
I don't think it's Lisa.
Oh.
Julia, something like that. Anyway, they have written this book about, you know, when you bring home a baby, your marriage changes forever, and you've got to figure out how to stay connected, reconnect, sexually, emotionally, in all sorts of ways, because you guys have now started a business that's like a factory and you don't get time off.
Yeah.
And it's tricky to maintain that relationship. So that's a helpful book just to help people see sort of what's coming and how to prepare for it and sort of maintain a relationship.
Always with the homework. Wendy's always about the homework.
I know, right?
I like it. I think it's good. And also, you know, what's out of, I don't know what the statistic is anymore, but it used to be like 50% of businesses fail or something. Mm-hmm. It's, wouldn't it be fun to be that marriage that kicks the trend? You know, like if we're still keeping with the business motif here,
right?
Be the one that nails it and becomes a chain store and has Starbucks everywhere.
It all comes down to communication.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with really Brian Ebbett on that.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you sound sick.
He has been sick.
No.
You missed him. You missed his fantastic debut
mid-show,
of illness on the show earlier this
show
week.
Barf on Tuesday.
Yeah, he had to yak on Tuesday.
Yes.
So
you that is Scott's living nightmare. You just
that's
did
why
it.
We're the number one podcast in the world.
That's right. We won. Wendy, you should share in this. We won People's Choice Award and Best Comedy Podcast at the Podcast Awards in Vegas.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So People's Choice is a big deal because it's like the one. It's like getting the Oscar for Best Picture. It's like the the biggest award of them all. And Brian probably got the flu by shaking the hand of an ex-Heroes actor.
The puppet master.
Yeah, the puppet flu. Master. So anyway, he's on the mend, and that's important.
I sound worse than I feel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he'll be all right. Well, this is all good advice. I hope
that I look better than I smell.
It's always true of me. Dear listener who sent that email, please let us know how things go. We hope for the best because that kind of stuff is hard, and we think you can do it. We know you can do it.
We know you can do it. And here's one last thing to her is we've been a little hard on you, and there's a reason, because no one else will.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Yeah. They will agree with you. Every girlfriend will agree with you. Oh, yeah, my husband dresses my kids in the blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you just need that other voice that says, no. Don't join your girlfriends on this. You create the marriage you want with the kids.
Well, if anything, that's at the crux of therapy, isn't it? Like there's a really important aspect to that, which is this is a relative stranger who I trust and has great experience and stuff, but this is a person who can tell me how it is because I don't have any other weird ties to them. I'm not related to them. They're not my friends. I don't have any weird social hangups with them. They are just a dude or lady behind a desk who can tell me these things without worrying about it harming our relationship.
Right.
And that's all we're doing for you today.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't sit behind a desk. That would be your principle.
That would be bad, wouldn't it? I don't know why I pictured that.
Your psychiatrist probably does.
Is there still a thing where you lay on the chair? Like, how does that
work?
No,
but this is funny. I have probably 3 out of every 10 people come in, and after the first session, second session, maybe the third, they'll say, can I lay down?
Really?
Yeah. Really? And I would say, absolutely. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. It makes me laugh every time.
Huh.
And I think they're just, it's a sign they feel comfortable. It's not like we're doing psychoanalysis in the traditional sense at all, but there's something about it. Like, you know, they're not having to follow my social cues because they're just looking up and, you know, we get to good stuff. There's something about it. It's interesting.
Well, they're unloading too, right?
Yeah.
So it's exhausting.
Like, and probably 8 out of 10 take off their shoes.
Oh, I'm weird.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, see, it's like you want to be comfortable, but it's also, you know, when I'm laying in bed, before I get out of bed, you're in the morning, the alarm has just gone off, and I'm kind of waiting there. I do a lot of, you know, preparing for the day, a lot of thinking. And so it's probably, there's something to that supine position or whatever it is.
I agree. I wonder if your brain, like the state of your brain is actually different from being horizontal.
It might be because you're not holding up weight. You're not worried about balance. You're not worried about all the things your brain is also having to do.
Yeah, you kind of free it up maybe.
You're just breathing and staring at the ceiling. So you've got some visual and you got some anatomic stuff going on and that's it.
Which also might explain why people have a lot of their fear-based stuff in that time. Mm-hmm. And then also kind of you're open for inspiration kind of moments.
That's when I wake up from weird dreams. That's what happens to me.
You're not standing while you're dreaming.
No, I don't. Not anymore. I got over that. It was a very different time for me.
Bad year.
Bad year. Wendy, any causes before you go? I like this because other people pimp their websites, but I want, what's your cause?
I had this great idea. Mm. You know, I'm mildly obsessed with homeless people.
Yeah.
So I have this friend who's very, very wealthy. And
we should make it clear, Matt, she's mad about helping homeless people.
Yes.
Not, she's not crazy about them in some weird way. Yeah.
It's a fetish. Look it up.
Yeah. No, she's not into it. She wants to help them. Anyway.
Disturbing. Yeah. So anyway, so she, you know, or Robin, my friend Robin, they went to Nicaragua this over Christmas and built houses and made basic necessities for families, and just had this really cool experience. It was bloody hot, she said. But
I bet.
She's very Republican and conservative and very like, you know, I'm telling her about the homeless shelter and this girl that I would just want to adopt and help this family sort of mentor. And I said, when she's married, and she's like, oh, she's married, as if no married people ever become homeless, you know?
Right. Right.
Anyway, I'm having this conversation with her and I'm thinking, if I just couch this a certain way, sort of the mentoring piece is big, right? So you have a homeless kid in, you know, the cycle of poverty continues when you've only seen a certain, like the modeling behavior. We talk about this quite a bit, you know, your dad, how did he model to you? I mean, if the modeling behavior is, you know, pretty chaotic and up and down and, you know, you're not really watching anything different than that, it's pretty easy to stay in that place. And we really reverence those who get out of poverty, mm-hmm. but the numbers are so few and there is a reason. Mm-hmm. Modeling is a powerful, you know, impact on people's lives. And those who break free of certain cycles, it is pretty miraculous. And anyway, thinking, you know, is there a way to get these Richie, I call them Richies, Richies who, you know, because I'm telling her about the homeless shelter that it looks third world, but, you know, they go to third world because it's sexy, right?
Yeah. It really was third world looking, that homeless shelter.
It was. It was. I mean, we were there 2 years ago and it has gone down the crapper.
Yeah, it looks
I mean,
bad. It was bad then. It's real bad now.
Yeah. And so I just thought, is there a way to sort of create, sort of harness the power of, you know, the good intentions of people who have very distinct beliefs about how poverty is created? They believe it's created by not being married and not trying hard enough in school. And, you know, they don't take into account any of the other factors that are sort of there. They just think, well, I did it, you know, kind of a bootstrap thing, right?
Right.
Can you harness them? Make them feel like it's the thing they want to do. And I think mentoring is a big piece of that, and sort of hook them up with families in poverty. And I don't know. Wow. I just thought that'd be
all
cool.
Because right.
they did that in Nicaragua. They mentored a business guy, a guy who sells chickens. So they helped him get a freezer so he could, I mean, he could double his profits by freezing the chickens because he could get them cheaper and, you know, just business stuff.
Yeah.
And then he has to pay back the money to buy the freezer and, you know, kind of create the self-sustaining thing. You know, they're all into that. And I'm like, we can do that here.
Yeah. Why not do it in your backyard, man?
I know, right?
Right here where people need it to.
I know.
That's
right?
What everyone should be doing. Then it branches out and eventually people are doing it in their hometown in Nicaragua. How about that?
I can't say that word.
I like, I say it and I sound like I'm saying the N word and then water at the end. I'm not doing it right. You know.
Agua.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Oh, you did it right. It's fine. Okay, well, that's it. Wendy, thank you so much. Bye. Let's do this again next week. Have a fantastic time and may all your snowy roads be clear.
Okay, same.
Bye now. We're going to take a tiny break. Okay. There's somebody here waiting for me. I don't know what they need. So I'm going to go to the door real quick, find out what that is. Brian, you chat with the fine folks.
Oh, sure.
We'll be back to finish things out, so hang in there. And we're back. Sorry, everybody. Just had to take care of a delivery. That's all that was.
Okay, cool.
Let's do... What do we do now? That's it. We're done.
Oh, we don't have any emails or anything?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't have anything.
All right.
I don't know why. I could have probably told that guy to wait longer. Or maybe I couldn't. He was there with the truck.
No. Yeah, he'd be sitting there going,
that'd be weird.
I'm just going to leave and put a sticker on your door.
We do want to call Cleo, though.
Oh, yeah. Let's tallywhack it.
Yeah, I want to see how things are going, too. Do a little checkup on Eden, see how she's doing.
Yes.
Haven't heard.
Yes,
haven't got
sure.
The latest. Derp-a-derp-a-der. Not sure she's ready for us or knows we're calling. She's online. Hover over that router, Cleo. You get over that thing. Hello, Cleo.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
How are you? I'm okay. I'm better than Brian. Good God.
Yeah, he's had a rough week.
Well, I sound bad, but I feel good.
Hey, oh, Cleo, I'm excited about you and Nicole and your little parenting thing you guys are doing.
We are having a hell of a good time doing it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
Got like an early beta episode out already up at, oh, crap, the URL, I've already forgot it.
Nerdparents.com.
That's it.
Yep.
Album art by me, by the way. I forgot because Nicole had me do that almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And then finally got the show together and I completely forgot it. So when I popped into my phone this morning, I went, oh, yeah, that's right. I did the album art for that. Anyway.
Well, you should have seen it. We get on the air and we were doing the pre-show. We did it with Samantha Jane yesterday and we were doing pre-show. And we're going over the show notes. Look at me sounding like a professional.
Yeah, what the heck?
And then she said, well, you know, we're going to try and, you know, probably 30 to 45 minutes. Yeah, an hour and 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Trust me. This show is a living, breathing example of how things go over time typically.
Yeah, we don't even have J.R. Justin Robert on it with us either.
Yeah, you don't have Jerry there to screw it up. He's not a parent yet that he knows of.
He triples the length of any podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to tell us all about parenting Dr. Bird.
Yeah. Parenting Dr. Bird. That's a good song. So Cleo comes on the show on Thursdays and whacks the tally, tells us how people did throughout the week. Funny stuff, things that came up, little anecdotes, and I assume today's no different. Take it away, Cleo.
Well, today's kind of different because I don't have anything to tell you. I've been at the doctor all week.
Yay! So. Wait, what happened with, not yay, what happened, how's Eden doing?
No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. No. She's doing well. No, okay. I just wasn't around this week to watch the show, guys. I apologize. I should have told you that before you called me.
It's all right.
Points. Yay. Everyone do a silly dance here to make up airtime.
Yeah.
No, she's doing okay. She's upstairs. She's going to start back to school next week.
Wow.
The only thing really going on with her right now is she has some amnesia from being in the coma, and she doesn't recognize some things.
Mm.
So she kind of freaks out a little bit. When
recognize
she
you and stuff? Everything's okay with
No, she recognized me. I insisted on not wearing like the scrubs. They make you wear like face protection and scrubs and the whole bit when you're with a kid who's in a coma and when you're in the PICU. And I was like, I'm not wearing it. I don't care. Cover me in bleach, whatever you want, but I want my kid to recognize me out of all of you.
Yeah.
So I insist, which is why I probably am starting to sound like crap too, because I probably caught the plague while I was in there.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure she recognized me and she would recognize my husband. So we didn't scrub up when we were in there. And she did okay with us, but like when I brought her home, she was definitely not okay with the dog.
Oh.
And she was not okay with a lot of my son's toys. She was not okay with that.
Really?
And he doesn't have loud toys, but I think that they're like Legos and things that are kind of little pieces and lots of different colors were kind of freaking her out a little bit.
Wow.
So she said, we're just going to take things a little slow and I'll take her to school on Monday and I'll just kind of see how she does. I told them, you know, don't bring the physical therapist in and stretch her out like a, you know, a piece of dough. Just don't do that. That would be bad.
Yeah.
But other than that, she's great. I mean, she's breathing well and she hasn't had a seizure since Christmas Day.
That's
Yay.
Great. That's good.
So that's all really good. She's just, you know, we had to run around. We had to go see the pulmonologist and then you had to go see 45,000. Once you're in the hospital for a while, you have to follow up with every specialist you've seen in the last year.
What does the pulmonologist do? What is that?
The pulmonologist is the guy who just works on her lungs.
Oh.
So, she was having some bad respiratory problems. She had a lung collapse and everything when she was in there. So we had to work with them. She's on oxygen at home for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that's going to help with some of the, that oxygen. For some reason, it kind of helps with some of the amnesia.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they'll put you on oxygen after you've had surgery and because it helps wake you up in the recovery room.
Yeah.
They're just kind of extending that here at the house because they don't want her to wake up and be uncomfortable from a respiratory perspective.
Well,
but she's doing good.
Don't take this as me being selfish, but I have to say, I have to make an admission here. While I was dealing with my bout of the freaking diverticula hellhole that I had during the same period of time, I kept reminding myself, like it'd get real bad some nights in that hotel and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I am going to die here. This is killing me. And then I would go, yeah, but it could be, you know, one of my little sweet kids in a hospital in a coma right now. Like I would use that to remind myself that, dude, this isn't that bad. There are people having worse things going on.
Remind myself of that every time I'm in there too.
Yeah. So I don't think
you and we had a couple of kids passed away while we were there.
Oh, geez.
Believe me, I was. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's
and
not
we
fair, had, man. Ugh, kids, they shouldn't crazy. Have to do it.
No, we had have my sister-in-law's son has a best friend. He's 10. And he was playing baseball and he didn't feel well. They took him to the doctor 3 days later. Today he is at Johns Hopkins and he is having a huge tumor removed from his spine.
What?
Because he didn't feel well and he just kind of wasn't on top of his game. And so his parents took him to the doctor and it turned into this huge thing.
Mm.
He's just like, well, I'm alive. Like he doesn't think, you know. We all do it. Yeah. It was your butt, Scott.
Goodness.
You know how precious it is to you.
Yeah.
Goodness they checked it out. Jeez.
Yeah, that kind of stuff freaks me out. And you hear it all the time with adults. Like, I got kind of a headache. And you go in and 3 days later, pancreatic cancer kills them or whatever.
Yeah.
So just be thankful for what you got. Hug what you got.
Absolutely, people.
Boom.
It's all good. And wake up on the right side of the dirt and you win.
That's right. Right side of the dirt. Cleo, it's always fun to talk to you. We'll do a proper tallywhack next week, but I'm glad to get an update on how things are going, and all our best to Eden and everybody, and hope it continues to go well.
Yes, you too, Brian. Take care of yourself. We'll talk
thanks,
to you next
Cleo.
Week.
Lots of fluids, Brian. Lots of fluids. That's it. We're done. We're out. That's it. That's the show. We're not doing it anymore. We're leaving. That's it. That's the last show where TMS is off the air. We're going out on a high note. We won those two awards.
That's true, and that's all we need to do.
Let's get out now. Visit the website if you'd like to support it, frogpants.com/TMS. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Big thanks. I never say this, so I'm going to say it again. Big thanks to the guys who do music for us. So Eric Van Skyhawk's theme was used today, and we love it. And we often use Rob Gaber's music as well for our morning stream theme. Yes. And they're very talented.
Both excellent.
Both. We're just surrounded by talented musical people.
We really are. Yeah.
We don't give them enough credit. That's it. Brian, what are you doing? Are you doing a Coverville today? Or are you going to chill
probably
this week?
Probably not. I'm probably going to chill this week just because... you know, because voice.
Yeah. That's not like you haven't done 1,000 of them.
Right. I know, but I hate not doing a show the first week after the podcast awards, but I'd hate for somebody to listen to the show as their first time listening to Coverville because of the podcast awards and think that I always sound like this.
Yeah. Good point. So, I'm with you there. Support your decision.
Yes. And I'm going to rest.
Yeah, get better, man. That sucks.
I want to sound good for TMS tomorrow.
Yeah, don't
worry. I mean, Current Geek tomorrow.
Current Geek, yeah. Tomorrow. Oh, yeah, good reminder. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, Brian Ibbett, Patrick Beja, myself and Tom Merritt, episode 2 of Current Geek tomorrow, live here on this same Bat channel. If you have any questions, follow us on Twitter, Scott Johnson and Coverville. Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
Should we do music? What do you want to do?
Let's do music. Let's close out with a cover going out to N. Hey, Brian and Scott. Sweet little Eden, Cleo's daughter, has a smile that I can't help but joining in on every time I see a picture of her. Please play something fun from the Arrogant Worms to honor her goofy family and spread smiles far and wide. Signed, N. It was very appropriate after tallywhack. And actually, also very appropriate after yesterday's TMS and the discussion about Morrissey and his whole meat is the equivalent of pedophilia.
Yes.
It made me think of this, and it's a perfect, perfect combination, the confluence of those two items. This is the Arrogant Worms from their 2010 album, Hindsight 2020, and an original, not a cover, a song called Carrot Juice is Murder.
Wow. All right. Here it is then. And don't forget, little PSA for you here. If you jump off that cliff,
you'll break your arm.
So don't do it.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, you will. Carrot Juice is Murder, everybody. We'll see you next week for a whole new week of The Morning Stream.
Listen up, brothers and sisters. Come hear my desperate tale. I speak of our friends of nature trapped in the dirt like a jail. Vegetables live in oppression, served on our tables each night. This killing of veggies is madness. I say we take up the fight. Salads are only for murderers. Coleslaw's a fascist regime. Don't think that they don't have feelings just cause a radish can't scream. I've heard the screams of the vegetables. Watching their skins being peeled,
having their insides revealed,
wicked and steam with no mercy.
Burning off calories.
How do you think that feels?
Bet it hurts really bad.
Carrot juice constitutes murder,
and that's a real crime.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
And my vegetables.
It's time to stop all this gardening.
It's dirty as hell.
Let's call the spade a spade.
Is a spade is a spade.
I saw a man eating celery, so I beat him black and blue. If he ever touches a sprout again, I'll bite him clean in two. I'm a political prisoner, trapped in a windowless cage, cause I stopped the slaughter of turnips by killing 5 men in a rage. I told the judge when he sentenced me, this is my finest hour. I'd kill those farmers again just to save one more cauliflower. I deciphered the screams of the vegetables.
Screams, screams, screams.
Watching their skins being peeled.
Having their insides revealed.
And steam with no mercy.
Burning off calories.
How do you think that feels?
That it hurts really bad.
Carrot juice constitutes murder.
And that's a real crime.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
Let my vegetables go.
Time to stop all this gardening.
It's dirty as
hell. Let's call a spade a spade.
Is a spade is a
spade. How low as people do we dare to stoop? Making young broccolis bleed in the soup.
Untie your beans, uncage your tomatoes. Let potted plants free. Don't mash that potato.
Whoa, no, spear the spine. Eat a cow instead. I've heard the screams of the
screams, screams, screams.
Watching their skins being peeled.
In the stir fryer
grated and steamed with no mercy.
You fat gourmet scum.
How do you think that feels?
Leave them out in the field.
Carrot juice constitutes murder.
V8's genocide.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
Yes, your compost.
It's time to stop all this gardening.
Take up macrame.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Is a spade is a spade.
Is a spade is a spade. Is a spade is a spade. Is a
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
The best tasting pound of wieners you can buy.